Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that it talks about Jesus being the anchor of our souls. And understanding what that means, I pray that you would help us as we navigate life, as we see and hear things that challenge our convictions, that seek to topple us. And so we just bring ourselves to you this morning. Thank you for all that you are doing in our midst. In Christ's name, amen. So years ago, when I was maybe grade 12, maybe it was right after my non-graduation, I fished a lot. Like I had a buddy, his name was Randy, but I almost always called him Trapper. He got his nickname Trapper because his dad was a trapper and had trap lines, and I don't know why, but that was Randy's nickname. And we were going fishing on Cottonwood Lake, which is just sort of south of Nelson, and Trapper's dad had this little aluminum, I think it was about a 12-foot aluminum boat, maybe 14, I can't remember, but there were certain lakes that we would need a boat to fish on, and so we would just, on a Saturday morning or whatever, we would just hook this back up to Trapper's truck, and we would drive it, and we would unload it and go out. And so we were out in on Cottonwood Lake, and in Cottonwood Lake it has an inflow of water, an outflow of water, but the current is pretty strong on the outflow. But that seemed to be where the good fishing was, and so we get out there on the lake like we normally had done, and we got to the place we wanted to be, and Randy had grabbed the anchor that he had in the boat, and he made the comment like, "This looks like a new anchor," because it had been some time, and threw it over the side. Unbeknownst to him, the other end was not tied to the boat, and so that anchor is still at the bottom of Cottonwood Lake to this day, and we couldn't safely fish at the mouth of Cottonwood Lake because we didn't have an anchor. So we ended up, you know, loading the boat back up and just trying to fish from shore. You know, these anchors, we might take them for granted, but they're really an amazing invention, you know, invented and used by fishermen and sailors for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Here's a picture of one. This is a really early Greek anchor that fishermen used. And you know, the sort of the basic concept or the basic design, anchors are normally made of something that's heavy, here being a rock. Nowadays, always, you know, some type of metal and used to secure, you know, whatever vessel to the bed of a body of water, whatever it is, whether it's a lake or an ocean or whatever. And what the anchors do is they just basically stop the drift. They stop the boat from moving, you know, with the currents. And so here's a picture of one of the world's largest anchors. That thing looks mean. But even these giant oil rigs that they have in the world that are out in the middle of oceans and stuff, this is an anchor for one of them. And they have four of them, one on each corner. And you can imagine how precise a vessel like an oil rig has to be held in place when you've got a drilling shaft into the bottom of the ocean. And so these anchors really do their work. You know, they're very simple in design, but they're very powerful in its function. And as Christians, as Christ followers, we are encouraged to remain steadfast and committed to our faith through every trial, every storm that life may bring. And we are actually anchored, if you will, in hope. That's what we're anchored in. And this whole series for the next 4 weeks is built around a single Bible verse. And it's found in Hebrews 16, or 6, verse 19, which says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." Now, our hope, the hope that is steadfast and unwavering, that hope comes from God alone. And it's a divine gift that is given to us, a grace that is actually bestowed upon us from our Heavenly Father. And this is a fundamental truth that we, as Christ followers, need to truly grasp. We must fully grasp in order to fully comprehend the power and significance of hope in our lives. This scripture provides us with clear evidence of this. In Romans 15, verse 13, Paul writes, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, this verse explicitly tells us that God is the source of our hope. It is He, it is God that fills us with hope as we trust in Him. It's not something that we can generate on our own. It's actually a divine gift that is given to us as we place our trust in Him. And so our hope is not based on wishful thinking or blind optimism. It's not a vague desire, you know, for things to get better in our life. Our hope is actually rooted in the very character of God. It's based on His faithfulness. It's based on His goodness, His mercy, and His love. And that's why the writer of Hebrews describes hope as an anchor. An anchor for our souls that's firm and secure. Again, our passage in Hebrews, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And that's because our hope is anchored in God Himself. It is as steadfast and as unchanging as He is. Now, in addition to this, our hope is not just for this life, but it's actually for eternity. Okay, if you struggle with the concept of hope being for us now, let's go into eternity. You know, Peter, he praises God for giving us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so our hope is not confined just to the here and now, but rather it transcends the here and now and reaches into eternity. It's a living hope, a hope that is vibrant and alive because it's rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because He is the strength of our hope. He is the strength of our hope. The strength of our hope is an essential aspect of our faith journey, because it really is the fuel that keeps us going, that keeps us motivated, that keeps us moving forward. It's the anchor that holds us steady amidst all of the life storms, and it's the light that actually illuminates our path in the darkest nights. Actually, it's the very essence of our faith. For as Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. You know, the strength of our hope is not something that we can wishfully muster up. You know, it's just not there. It's not a product of our own willpower or our determination. Rather, it's a divine gift. It's a grace that's bestowed upon us by our loving God. And it's rooted in His promises, His faithfulness, and His unfailing love for us. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5:5, he says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And so the strength of our hope, it's also directly proportional to the depth of our relationship with God. You know, it makes sense to me. The more we know Him, the more we trust Him, The more we trust him, the stronger our hope becomes. And as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of God's character, who he is and his ways and his purposes, and what happens in our lives is that hope is actually fortified because we become more confident in his promises and more assured of his faithfulness. Now, the strength of our hope, it is tested and it's proven when we face adversity. When we go through those trials, when we go through those difficult times in our life, because it is during those times that hope is refined and its strength is revealed. You know, that's been so evident to me as a pastor over, you know, the last number of years. I mean, it's probably always been like that, but it's been sort of amplified where things got really challenging, really hard. And people dropped off sort of the face of the earth. They used to attend. They used to come. They used to proclaim that they love Jesus, but now they don't. They've gone their own way. They don't attend church anywhere. You know, and you know, when you just need to turn on your TV and watch the news and what's going on over in Israel and Gaza, and like it's earth-shattering for some people where they lose all hope in God. But God is saying that our hope, it's actually refined in those adversities. That's where our strength is really revealed. You know, it's like, you know, I love watching those Gold Rush. Is that what it's called? Am I right? I can't remember the name of the show even, but I like them. They work so hard. They pull the gold out of the ground, but then it has to go through a refining process to get that bar of gold. And, you know, just like gold is purified in fire, so is our hope. It's purified in that, could we say, a furnace of affliction? You know, when we go through difficult times, it's in those moments that we really can discover the true strength of our hope. And it's in those moments that our hope can shine the brightest. You know, in the words of renowned theologian John Piper, he says, hope is a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. Hope is power. Hope is strength. Hope is victory in the fight of faith. And I think that quote beautifully encapsulates the essence of the strength of our hope. It's not in passive or wishful thinking, but it's actual an active, confident expectation. It's a really a powerful force that propels us forward, that causes us not to give up, to gives us the strength to endure. It secures our victory in the fight of faith, which we all face. We all face. And so what is the specific hope that the author of Hebrews is referring to in our passage in 6:19? Let me read it for you again. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Well, of course, the answer to that is Jesus. That's the answer to that. But why is the conclusion being drawn that we have this hope and in Jesus and not another hope? And so to better understand what we're talking about in this passage, we really need to look at the section of verses that comes before it, and probably at some point read the first six chapters of Hebrews together. But for now, we're just going to start in verse 13. Excuse me. Verse 13 says, when God made this promise to Abraham, since there was no greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. And so, an interesting passage, you know, God made a promise to Abraham, who was the father of the Hebrew nation. And since God couldn't swear on anything greater than himself, he simply said, "Abraham, I surely will bless you and give you many descendants." And so God made a promise to Abraham, and God stayed true to his promise. You know, have you ever had someone make you a promise and then broke it? It's a very painful experience. You know, in my life, one time in particular, and when I think about it, it still feels very raw, but I had two men that I believed in. Men who I thought had my back. They were on my team. They were on my side. And they promised me that they were on my team. They promised me that they were on my back. And they prayed with me, and they cared for me, and I think they loved me. But a time came when I needed them to step up and to intercede on my behalf, and they broke their promise. And they left me really to the wolves. Now, I survived the ordeal, and I've talked to them since that ordeal. But as a consequence, their broken promise bred distrust and division in our relationship. Maybe you have experienced something like that with a family member or a neighbor or a coworker, or maybe it could even be a close friend. It's a very difficult, very painful time. Our God is a promise keeper. And at the end of the day, he has kept every promise and fulfilled every prophecy up to this point in time. Now, obviously, there is still more to come. But up to this point, God has come through every single time. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Jesus is not going to have a midlife crisis or go on some kind of crazy existential journey. He remains the same. And this is incredibly good news in a world that is constantly changing, constantly moving, constantly adrift. Hebrews 6:18, "God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged." And so if there's anything that comes from this morning, it's the encouragement that you have knowing that your Savior is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want you to be encouraged, especially those of you who have taken hold of Jesus. He is the hope, the specific hope that we have. And Jesus is firm and secure. He is the anchor for our soul. And once we have Jesus, we are able to anchor ourselves to him. Listen to how Albert Barnes, who is a biblical commentator, beautifully describes this reality. He says, "Hope accomplishes for the soul the same thing which an anchor does for a ship. It makes it fast and secure. An anchor preserves a ship when the waves beat and the winds blow, and as long as the anchor holds, so long the ship is safe and the mariner apprehends no danger." So with the soul of a Christian, in the tempests and trials of life, his mind is calm as long as hope of heaven is firm. If that gives way, he feels that all is lost. Now, obviously, it's not a perfect metaphor, but this is in some way how it feels to be anchored to hope. If you are anchored, you are firm and secure. If your connections are strong and the anchor is trustworthy, then what room is left for anxiety and fear? If all is good, you might find yourself saying something like this: the anchor will hold, or better yet, we're not going anywhere. We can be confident of this hope that we have. This hope, as opposed to other things, is firm and secure. And that's really what we need now when life is changing so fast. When there is so much violence in the world, when there's so much terrorism in the world, we think that we're insulated from it, but we're not, because we get discouraged and we start believing that, God, you're not an anchor. You have nothing to offer me. And we walk away and we go and we do our own thing. You know, with so much uncertainty in our world, the turmoil, the confusion, the division, is it any wonder that our cities and cultures are struggling with epidemic levels of anxiety, stress, and depression? There are some times when I'm listening to our local 8 a.m. radio station, 610, whatever, it's filled with talk shows most of the time during the day. I want to scream, because it feels like they talk about the same things over and over and over again, and they get no closer to a solution. In my opinion, people are literally grasping for anything that's firm and secure to hold fast to, but everything that they're grabbing a hold of gives way, because it's hope wrongly applied. And when hope is wrongly applied, it will leave us worse off than we started. You know, it sort of reminded me of a story in the Bible when Jesus was walking on the water. Let me read it for you in Matthew 14. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Excuse me. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" Everything was going great for Peter until he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to have doubts. And this particular story always reminds me that we need to stay locked onto Jesus, fashioned unto him, because he is our hope. He is the one that is firm and secure. There is nothing else. And since this life is complicated and it's complex, and this is pretty straightforward, and it's good news to know that Jesus is the anchor, and he can be your anchor. An anchor is actually, as I said right at the very beginning, it's simple in its design, but it's so very powerful in its function. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to continue talking about anchors and boats and hope and Jesus. And in the meantime, it would be good for all of us here today to take some time this coming week to slow down and to spend some time thinking about the things or people that we have put our hope in. Has someone ever that you've trusted ever let you down in the past? Has someone ever lied to you or misled you or manipulated you? Do you find yourself anxious and depressed? Have you ever felt fearful of people, of places, of situations? And if you identify with any of those situations like I just described, or possibly something that I missed, it doesn't mean that you're weak, or you're dumb, or you're gullible, or you're broken. What it means is that you're human. It means that you're exactly the type of person that Jesus came and died for. In Mark chapter 5, there is this story about this woman who was afflicted with continuous bleeding for over 12 years. and she had spent all of her money on doctors and got no relief. And so she would have been ostracized from her community. She would have been ostracized from her family because she was constantly unclean according to the laws of Moses. According to that Levitical law, every place that she sat became unclean because she was unclean. But then something extraordinary happens in her life. Jesus shows up. And she pushes her way through the crowd, and she touches just the very edge of Jesus' garment, thinking to herself, if I can just get to Jesus, he can heal me. And he does. He heals her completely. He heals her physically, and he heals her socially. What he did in that moment is he restored her. And it is this same hope that I encourage you to grab a hold of, even if it's just the edge of his garment. Because if you've got Jesus, you've got more than enough. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the hope that you have given to us. Help us to hold on to it, to let it guide us through the dark times and lead us to the light. Father, we want to be a people that trust in your promises, Lord, and wait. And we wait patiently for what we do not have yet. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.